Today, I'm speaking on help wanted God. That means God is saying, I need help. Our help, believe it or not. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 9. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Lord, we pray that. Send workers. But I pray you send us. I pray, Lord God, that we would say, "Hey, here am I, send me." Lord, with surrendered hearts, you can do the impossible through us. But without you, we can't do the impossible. And we're not looking to do things, Lord, to make a name or for recognition. We want to impact the community of Oswego, New York, with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to let go of the reins of our lives. Help us to say, "Lord, what is it that you want? Use me, Lord." Let us not despise the day of small beginnings, Lord, but let us go all in for what you're doing. Amen. If you're not working right now and you want a job, you're in the right community, the right country, because there are openings everywhere. There is a major work shortage in our country today. Some of the reasons are baby boomers, of which I am one, are retiring. There's not enough childcare. I know instances of places up north where, you know, places aren't opening because the people can't get childcare. You know, my daughter teaches up north, and some teachers can't get childcare. They're just not going back to work. The desire for higher wages. Don't we always think we're worth more than we really are? And when you hear a professional baseball player not sign a contract because the poor gent only got offered $460 million, well, my heart does bleed for him. I had an uncle who was the vice president of this company, and a lot of the younger workers were complaining, "You know, we don't make the salary you do." He said, "They don't understand. I've been doing this for 40-some years. I go to work in the morning, and they're not there yet, and I leave after they go home." Your eyes can't be on wages. Lord, what is it you want me to do? And part of the reason there's work shortages, during COVID, a lot more people have either started their own business or now they work from home. So employers everywhere are working for good, dependable employees. So is God. Why does God need more workers? We live in a busy society. We're busy. And we like to let people know about it. We like to let people know how busy we are without even realizing, wow, is that pride. Our priorities, starting with me, need to be adjusted. Because I have my priorities, but I need God's priorities. The whole lordship concept is missing in the church, I think, in many ways. What do I mean by that is when I asked Christ to forgive me and to come into my life, I then gave him the keys to my life. He is my Lord. Let's put it another way. He's my leader. I make plans if God agrees with my plans. I have made many plans in my life that have never come to fruition because God had different idea. Well, we don't like that. We go through hardships. And one of the things that I know and I've encountered If you're going through a hardship, one of the ways to get up out of it is let God use you in the proper season and to bless somebody else, because when you give, you shall receive. And one of the things that the enemy plays up, and God is going after a new covenant church, is we have to have more faith that God really can use us. Who, me? Yeah, you. You know, tomorrow's Labor Day, we celebrate it. But let's really take a moment today and evaluate what we're doing and what God is asking us to do. I'm talking today, we need to harvest eternity. Everything that I'm doing outside of God, it's going to be gone. It's not going to last. You know, I'm friends with this guy on Facebook. He lives up in Alaska, and he just bought like a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee extended version, dark blue, like my favorite color. Sorry, but not that I want a Jeep. I've owned those, and they cost a lot of money to fix. But can I tell, I was a little envious. No, that's a lot envious. But that ain't going to get eternity now, is it? So the first thing I want you to do, take a step back and relax. I said this about 10 minutes ago, about two of you did. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a deep breath. Now I want you to keep your eyes closed. Thank you. What does Psalm 46:10 say to us? Be still and know that I am God. You can open up your eyes. I'm not rebuking you today. I'm encouraging you. You see, we're entering into a new season. We're entering into a new phase as a church, and we have to trust the Lord. And a lot of times when it's not status quo, we get all nervous and herky and jerky. But we have to take a step back and say, you know what, God? You're in control. You're going to call me, and you're going to give me the grace to do whatever it is that I want to do. Now, you can't be thinking about tomorrow, because you do not have the grace for tomorrow. You have the grace for today. You have the grace for what God has called you to do today. We can plan for tomorrow, but a lot of times we get caught up worried about what's going to go on, and God says, it's because I'm not there yet, because I'm living today. You know, I'm looking to move forward, and we're looking to have fresh vision for this church. And I know it can be tempting to get defensive, but don't get defensive. It's easy to get overwhelmed. God is going to require things of us. But you know what I found? When I walk in obedience, I get grace and I get joy. I get peace. When I drag my heels and don't do what God wants me to do, I don't have peace. You know, I heard a teacher on the radio, and I can't remember. No, actually, excuse me, it was Oswald Chambers. And what he was saying is, if you're a husband, if you're a father, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to get your prayers answered. We don't like to hear that. But if you don't walk in obedience, you're not going to get blessed. And it's not a works mentality. It's a faith mentality. God, I have to be the man you've called me to be. You ever see these shows on TV where a guy goes looking for gold and they get a bunch of crud and they put it in this pan and they shake it back and forth and all the junk comes out, but then there's the gold? That's what God's doing with us. He has us in this pan and he's shaking Beaumont back and forth, and the stuff that's junk, that's worthless, is going to the bottom, and what's left is what God has for me to be. So we need to take a step back and relax, and I really want you to be praying for this church, because it is time for a fresh vision. You know, I got to be honest, one of the things I'm looking at is a new logo and a new name for this church. Now, we may still legally be New Covenant Community Church. We just might have an unofficial new name, because I think it's time. Compassion is key. In verse 36, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Why should I give up my Thursday night to go to the park? Because they're sheep without a shepherd. and we know the Good Shepherd. And we have to build relationships. When I go do stuff like that, I don't share Jesus with people unless, A, God tells me to, or they ask me questions. Why? I like to build a relationship. I like to invest in the person so they know I care, then they let their guard down. We have to look at this world, and we get it so stinking wrong. We look at politics, we looked at all these different issues, and we get angry, but we have to have compassion. Why? They're sheep with no shepherd. You know, I was watching the SU game last night. It was a good night. I flipped the station. Tribute concert they had in England for the Foo Fighters drummer, Taylor Hawkins. And I tell you, I watched that and my heart's broken. Because I don't know what happened at the end of his days, but as far as I know, my man did not know Jesus Christ. And you can celebrate a life, but he'd come back in a second if he could and give it all up for Jesus. So we have to get real. We have to move forward. We have to know that love opens people up. Judgment shuts them down. Dave Prouty talked about that last week. How do you deal with people? Say, well, why do you think that? What do you mean by that? Don't go after them. You know, I like what Chip Ingram said. You know, the apologetics, the defense of the gospel. It doesn't work the way it used to. People today want compassion. They want relationship so we can build relationships and tell them about Jesus. I'm not saying we shouldn't know the Bible and be able to defend it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is society has changed. I want us to be a safe church where anybody from any lifestyle can come in and be loved. We will not compromise. We will still preach the Bible. We will still have a biblical point of view, but they will know we won't judge them, we will teach them, and we will love them. I stole this from somebody who stole it from somebody else. We're going to use this as one of our sayings. You matter to God. You matter to us. That has to be. I said this to one of my leaders, and I like what they asked. Is that true for our church? I think that's a good question. Do the down and out people matter to you? Do they matter to me? Oh, it sounds good to say. Look at James, you know, where it tells us don't prefer people. But don't we do that? Isn't it natural for us after a church service or at a picnic to talk to the people we know rather than those we're a little unsure of? I'm glad Jesus isn't like that. You see, he says the harvest is great, but the workers are few. You know, as I said a couple weeks ago, our Sunday night outreach meetings are done, at least for now. I believe they were for this church. And I realize whenever I bring this up, it might seem like I'm favoring the church I used to be at, but I want us to wrap our minds around what they did again. To drive 3 hours on a Sunday. How many of us didn't want to drive 10 minutes to come to a meeting? To 1 week, all the kids in the rain and adults, they're inviting people, handing out invitations. Why? They knew God called them to be workers. We have to have that attitude. It has to matter to us that we live in a society going to hell. I'm tired of reading on Facebook, oh, they're in a better place. I want to type, I hope so. That would be antagonistic, and I don't mean it to be. But we have to see New Covenant. Who is the one person God is saying you share your life with? That's what discipleship is. It's not some big fancy Bible study. It's let me share my love with you. Let me share my friendship with you. Let me show you how Jesus came through for my life. We need to pray for workers. We need to pray for help and stepping up. But as I said earlier, if you want to be blessed, you have to be a blessing. You know, I reference this a lot, Philippians 2, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others. What I want to concentrate on is be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That has to be our life. We have to pray through these verses and say, God, you have to show me where I look out for myself, where I am selfish, where I am not a servant, but I want to be served. If I said to you and I called somebody out, hey, Joe Smith, we're going to get a pan. You're going to wash everybody's feet in this church right now. That would be funky. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it, so don't get nervous. Jesus did that. I'll be honest with you. I know a friend of mine goes to a church, and they used to once a year have all the small group leaders wash feet. And I prayed, and I was really glad God released me from having to do that. But if he did, with a clothespin on my head, I would do it for you. Guess what, folks? See the doors that are open? Is there a cat that walks through every once in a while? Enter the harvest field. In the weeks to come, we're going to talk about fresh vision. We're going to talk about the faith we need to embrace it. We need to stop having the fear of man rule us. What do you mean by that? Well, if I share the gospel, they might disagree with me. Okay. But once that happens, you walk away and say, man, that wasn't that bad. You know, when I talk about fresh vision, this is the kind of church I do not want to be. In the 1980s, big hair was a big thing. That was a good look. If you don't believe me, you Google John Bon Jovi. That wasn't a wrong hairstyle in the 80s. But it's not pertinent for today. You know, I found one thing out. I went to Walmart a few weeks ago, and I saw some flowered bell-bottoms in the women's section. And I realized what was ugly in the 70s is still ugly today. I am not saying what we did in the past was wrong. It wasn't. We did what God had us to do. I am saying I don't want to be that kind of church. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to do gimmicks. I'm not going to do hocus pocus. We're going to proclaim the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to say, God, what is it you want us to be? Somebody asked me, why do you want to change the name of the church? I'm sorry. Community church to me, you say that names, it says old fogey. I love the daily bread. Guess who doesn't? Young people. Why? Because they think you're a blue-haired old lady. Sorry if I'm stepping on feet, because I do the same thing. We have to realize life changes, and if we don't change, we will die. God is saying to this church, hang on, because I'm going to do a big work, and I'm going to do a mighty work, but I'm not going to do your work. I'm going to do my work, God says. And we have to get on board. I love New Covenant Community Church. The biggest thing I love about this church is you know how to love people. That's why we became a part of this decades ago. But we have to realize society is different. I do not like social media. But if I live in a society that does, let's use it to our advantage. People need to know Let's get rid of that picture. It's really driving me nuts. let's have fun. You're going to get uncomfortable. That's good. Because when you're comfortable, you ain't looking to Jesus. I can be driving. One of the things when I used to live up north, I would be driving up 81 on a nice, beautiful afternoon. No care in the world. Within 5 minutes, I can't see 2 feet in front of my face because there's a snowstorm. Oh, did I pray during those storms? I wasn't comfortable anymore. Why? I need God's help. You and I do not have the capacity to take this church where God wants it to go. Without, as Bill encouraged us to start worship, the Holy Spirit leading us, strengthening us, empowering us, and taking us forward. Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People want to know that they matter. You know, when we set proper priorities, it doesn't mean we neglect ourselves. It just means you don't emphasize yourself. You know, in 3 days, the Oswego Community Christian School starts. It's doing good. You know what? One of the things the Lord did there is we have this young couple in the church. One that she teaches. He's in administration in another district, and he's part of the board now. Younger couple. And they have all these ideas. So now we have a homeschool extension program on Friday with 23 students. They don't pay full tuition, but they do pay. We have almost 60 students, which is a lot better than we were last year. Why did that happen? God sent a younger couple that could do things, and we've talked about it, and I would say it if he was here today, that Dave can't do. I'm a part of the board. I can't do it either. Why? I don't have that youthful energy and all the ideas on how to touch their segment of the population. Let's talk about the school. Help wanted. I want to put two teams together of 3 to 4 people where we volunteer, and I'm going to head one up, where we clean the school 1 or 2 hours. If we do it for 2 hours, 3 people, that's 6 hours. You do it twice, that's 12 hours. They need help. They don't have a cleaner right now. Well, guess what? This is our ministry. We're touching young people. So let's get a couple teams together. We'll go over, I think it has to be after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll work for a couple hours. We'll serve Jesus Christ in a practical way. You want to be called by God? You just were. I want to thank you for your commitment. I want to thank you for your love and service. But we need to pray and get excited about the direction God is moving in. One of the things we can't do, and I'm not trying to manipulate you about cleaning, is say, well, let me see if God wants me to do it. I think that's a good thing to do. But I think the prayer is, God, show me why I shouldn't do it. And I'm not talking about overburdening your schedule. You guys know that. But what I'm saying is, if we don't do it with the right perspective, we don't do some of the things God wants us to do. Newsflash, I do a lot of things I really don't want to do. The harvest is great, Jesus Christ said, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. We're all part of God's workforce. Don't get bogged down by what you can't do. Show God, ask God what you can do. I'm not asking you to do everything. I'm asking you to do what God asks you to do. And to pray for the other needs that we have in this church. God, you see this need, please send workers. I got a text message late, I think it was Friday night, from a pastor I know up north, and he has this young woman who feels like, I'm supposed to really be working for the Lord. Do you have any openings? And I'm, no. Until I prayed, and God said, don't be so sure about that. So I'm still praying through that, and I may not bring her down here. I don't know what's going to happen. But my flesh was no. But then God said, you've been praying for things. This is an opening. See if it's for me. So I want to go to our summary. I want you to take time to relax, appreciate God, and get refreshed. Maybe you're a schedule maker. Great. Spend time alone with God. My daughter and her husband, my grandbaby, and Max, the chocolate lab, came to visit yesterday. They all went out to the store. Me and Max, I sat in a chair way out in my backyard because we got some must-be comfortable grass because that dog can just lay there for an hour. He just laid in the grass and I just laid in the shade and I just had me some good time with Jesus. I wasn't on my knees. I just said, Lord, let's hang out. What is it you want to do, God? I like hanging out with my wife. We sit on the deck and talk. I'm just hanging out with God, just getting refreshed, getting encouraged. It wasn't anything formal, but it was time with my Savior. The need for workers for God is always there. Resist getting too busy in life so that we leave God out of our lives. Okay. Either me or Jeff's going to do the next slide. Get engaged in the harvest field. I forgot one. Compassion. You matter to God, you matter to us. Get engaged. The workers go into the field. My buddy Wade Smith it's called Fruit Valley Orchard. You can pick apples. You know what I found out? If the apples don't pick themselves, I mean, he does crates, and I mean crates, of apples, and they don't just magically appear because God created them and goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. People actually have to climb these ladders, pick them, put them in the basket. They take this tractor. I helped them put together some of the bins the other day. People have to do the work. Huh. Do you see the correlation? We have to be the workers for the harvest. Maybe God's not asking you to pick apples. Maybe it's blueberries. I didn't go near them because they had poison ivy there this year, but the new place I don't. Oh, they got pears. Maybe God wants you to pick pears or cherries. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, you want us to work for you. There's things that other people do, Lord, that we can't do, but there's things that you've gifted us to do. You put it on Jan's heart to encourage us today to not despise the day of small beginnings. Maybe you let us not say, but God, this is all I can do. Our smallest effort, you can produce great fruit from. You're not looking for us to astonish. You're looking for us to obey. And Lord, I see you lifting the mantle of insecurity off of this church and many people's lives. I see you taking away the lies that the enemy has sown in us that I can't make a difference for God, people won't listen to me, etc., etc. We're going to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Doesn't mean I can fly, doesn't mean I can jump off a mountain. It means I can do every single thing that you have called me to do, Lord. When I trust you, when I look to be empowered by your Spirit, when I walk in obedience, the results you desire will come. When we share the gospel with other people, Lord, the good news of your truth, their response is not our responsibility. That's up to you. Our responsibility is to walk in faithfulness and obedience. Lord, we don't want to be a big hair church. We don't want to look at the past and say, I remember. The past is for us to look at, to be encouraged by how faithful you were, so that we can boldly go into the future with a fresh new vision that you have for us. Lord, give us the compassion that you had on the crowd to understand they're confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Let us realize, Lord, when we leave this room today, when we leave this building, I should say, we are entering the harvest field. Let us be used by you, O Lord. Let us be the people you have called us to be. Let us be the church you have called us to be, Lord. The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus, let us take hold of the new wine that you have for us with the new wine skins. The old tastes better because we're used to it, but we want the newness that you have for us, Lord. The people that matter to you, O Lord, let them matter to us. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their love, for their hospitality. I thank you, God, for the blessing that they are. Lord, I pray for all of those that need a special touch from you today, Lord. In the midst of trials, tribulations, and grieving, Lord Jesus, I pray for your Spirit to touch them, to give them the peace that surpasses all understanding, that though the pain doesn't vanquish and go away, there's an inner peace we have deep down in our soul that we know somehow, some way, it's going to be okay because you're in charge. Be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings. Have a good day.